This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, we continue with the top business stories of the day. Just a reminder what's coming up after the 8 a.m. bulletin. We're going to be interviewing several people on the question of the legacy of the late Tan Sri Adnan Satim, Chief Minister of Sarawak. We have Wan Junaidi, Ben Sufian and James Chin. We also have interviews that were done yesterday following the shock death of the Chief Minister, including Member of Cabinet Nancy Shukri and others from Sarawak. So more on that after the 8 a.m. news. Now, just coming back to the top business stories of the day, let's look at our first top story. Malaysia is one of three economies in the East Asia and the Pacific region most exposed to adverse reactions to the U.S. Federal Reserve's anticipated hike in interest rates this year. Who's saying this?
The World Bank, apparently, because they released a report called the Global Economic Prospects Report yesterday. And they say Malaysia, Indonesia and Thailand most exposed to first the expected interest rates hike that you mentioned, Ashrad, at the Fed's interest rate hikes this year, as well as a global kind of risk aversion, a risk of sentiment within global markets. So Malaysia is very exposed to that. In fact, I think they pointed out that Malaysia's GDP is expected to be around 4.3%. This is an acceleration, though, compared to last year, because that was, I think, previous estimates were about 4.2%. The World Bank says maybe commodity prices and energy prices stabilizing, this could be a good thing. But if you compare their prediction of 4.3% to, say, the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research, MIER, they are reckoning we expend around 4.5 to 5.5% this year. So a big difference, I would say.
Yeah, I think there would be no shortage of analyses and reports studying whether the forecasts by the World Bank or the IMF are accurate. I think you will find no shortage of that. So the question of whether we can put full trust in the forecasts of those institutions is another question. But they cite extreme exposure to external and foreign currency denominated short-term debt. That's the thing that would make our currency and our economy quite volatile. Also, I think Malaysia was cited along two other countries, Indonesia and Thailand, for having those sorts of exposure as well. But I do think that if the price comes too low, and I echo the short-term sentiment of many of the observers from the past few days, saying that at some point the ringgit has to rebound. Mm-hmm. At some point, some of the savvy money would have to come back to take advantage of extremely low prices. Also, looking at some of the forecasts of the highest growth countries in the world, Cambodia, it's almost 7%, Laos growing 7.2%, and Myanmar growing 7.3%, the Philippines growing almost 7%. You know, we are part of the ASEAN theme right now, and it's hard to ignore that. I think people are still putting the spotlight into ASEAN and looking to invest for the long term when the opportunities arise.
Aren't these numbers on Cambodia and Myanmar just so impressive, Jules? I mean, really, the past few years, they have been growing and I think set to grow even further in 2017 and 2018. Cambodia itself said to be Asia's new tiger economy, simply because they've embraced that whole factory of the world model. Taking over China's role as a manufacturing hub, given that labor costs have increased there.
Now, moving on, our industrial production index grew by 6.2% in November. However, economists are cautious about growth in exports this year.
Related also, I guess, to see how well our economy is doing. Now, this is good news, right? So the fact that the IPI, the Industrial Production Index, has grown by 6.2% in November. If you compare that to the last month, this was on stronger performance from export industries. You compare what we did in October, it was a growth of 4.2%. So that's some growth we're seeing, I guess, an uptrend here. But again, is this a blip in the radar, or is this, you know, a true trend of increase in terms of exports? Maybe the weaker ringgit has helped that. Actually, the weaker ringgit, there's something on that. Apparently, some economists are saying it's the higher forex conversion that's causing this bump thanks to the weaker ringgit.
I think we have had many, many years of slow growth. So people are just trying to take any little good news that they can, you know, as they come along. China, for instance, produced some of the highest growth in industrial profits for 2 or 3 years. And this is also due to the rise in commodity prices over the last year, stellar performance by commodities driving certain sectors of the Chinese economy. And people are asking whether this is the turnaround that people have been clamoring for many years. And in Malaysia itself, if you look at the average growth of 6.2% in Malaysia, the certain outperformer is the manufacturing sector. And you look dig deeper down into the breakdown of the manufacturing sector, food, beverage and tobacco grew 10%. Electrical and electronics, which is the export sector that you talk about, Melissa, that's growing 9%. Even petrochemical products also growing 6%. Electricity growing 10% from an industrial production viewpoint. So electricity, for instance, is a proxy to manufacturing activity. The more you produce, the more power you consume. So hopefully, fingers crossed, this is... hopefully, this is a start to better growth for the coming year.
Again, we should look at this in the long term, see whether there's a trend. What also is a little bit worrying is the fact that export-oriented production has eclipsed domestic industries in the latest numbers. So, great that we're exporting more, but let's see whether the domestic economy, the domestic consumption can remain robust.
So the question of whether what would be a dampener on growth would perhaps be rising costs. And of course, one of the big components of that is the cost of labor and the story of foreign workers and the levy that the government had proposed to impose on employers is a big story because the employers, the stakeholders, especially those in the export and some other industries, came up very strongly against the government proposal. They recently announced that the government was going to defer this, but we didn't hear from the government. So the question is, do we have a definitive, a kind of official word on whether this proposal has been deferred?
So according to the Edge Financial Daily today, they've reported this news and they're quoting Transport Minister Dato' Sri Liao Tiong Lai, who spoke about this deferment. So I'm not sure whether this is, you know, a spokesperson of the government or he's just offering his opinion. Again, maybe he's saying the deferment's necessary on the employer's point of view.
So it's very interesting where all this is coming from, because the proposal came from the Home Ministry, not the Ministry of Manpower and Resources. And then with the first item on the news, when this news broke out, it was with Dato' Paul Lau, the Integrity Minister. So that was kind of odd. Now it's the Transport Minister.
Well, the Integrity Minister, Dato' Paul Lau, acted, I guess, as an intermediary, as the person, a representative of the government, to discuss with the employers and different stakeholders about this issue.
But what is this? What is the competent authority? Which is the ministry in charge of this policy?
I really think we don't have a clear answer to that.
Well, it's human resources, isn't it?
But, you know, human resources is in charge of perhaps seeing how many foreign workers we need. But then you've got the Home Ministry who's in charge of what do we do with the foreign workers who are already here? And how do we deal with an influx of foreign workers? Because in the eyes of the Home Ministry, it's considered a national security issue, isn't it? And then there's also the element of the Foreign Ministry and the bilateral agreements that we sign with different countries like Bangladesh. So all in all, there's a lot of overlap. But I really want to be clear, who's running the show here? I'm not clear myself. News reports don't seem to be able to clarify, but, you know, we'll have to find out.
Also, I think in that vein, not everybody is happy with this seemingly good news. Fu Chek Li, president of the Master Builders Association, lamented that this is only a deferment, not a total cancellation, which means that sometime down the road, I think it's 2018 or 2019, that the government would still place this responsibility of collecting levy on behalf of the government.
But Jules, aren't you worried about the fact that, you know, this flip-flop, and I do say flip-flop, between announcing and deferring and postponing and maybe let's look at it again, let's talk some more. I wonder whether it shows that perhaps the government is being pressured by, I use air quotes here, industry lobby groups, because we don't have clear lobby groups in Malaysia, whether it's a good... It doesn't shine a good light on the government to announce something and then have to kind of take a step back.
Yeah, I think I'm as worried about you as the rest of the nation. I think we've had to deal with this trust deficit for a long time. But looking just at the principle of the levy imposition, I don't think it's entirely a bad thing, because employers as agents will be able to do the job more efficiently. It will reduce policing costs overall in the long term. If there were these main agents who paid a salary, it's not very much different from how employers pay our taxes on behalf of us, right, to the government. So we have to separate the principle and the how efficient this is from the execution,
Of it. Right,
the administration of it. Moving on, the World Economic Forum is gathering top experts to identify the most significant global concerns in their latest annual report.
Yeah, so this is coming up from Davos. Top five global risks include extreme weather events, large-scale involuntary migration, major natural disasters, terrorist attacks, and data fraud. So any of these come as a surprise to you, or this is just a...
Well, the experience of course, you know, Syrian migration into Europe, I think it was what they're clearly referring to, you know, involuntary and at a scale that's unprecedented, right? Germany accepted 1 million refugees. I mean, that's a huge number that will change the nature of German society. So I can see why would they put that on the list.
Well, one of the risks here, they say, is cybersecurity and attacks, right? I also saw news that the founders of LinkedIn and eBay, both of them are donating a combined $20 million to fund academic research aimed at ensuring the safety of artificial intelligence. They're worried about accountability in AI. What kind of controls should mankind need to minimize AI's potential harm to society? Imagine that, $20 billion donated to look into this.
Okay, just to remind you, coming up after the 8 o'clock bulletin, we're going to be covering the death of Tan Sri Adnan Satim, the Chief Minister of Sarawak. We'll be having as our guest Wan Junaidi, Minister of Natural Resources and Environment, currently Member of Parliament for Santubong in Sarawak, also member of the ruling party, or the dominant party within the Barisan Nasional of Sarawak, which is PBB. We'll also be speaking to Ben Sufian, Director of the Polling Outfit Merdeka Centre, and James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute Tasmania at the University of Tasmania. All this coming up after the 8 o'clock bulletin, which is coming out shortly on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.